My son loves this song, dude. My son loves this song. I don't know if it's like a Trolls thing or like, I don't know where we picked this one up along the way. My son loves this song, man. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Backward Hat Brigade version of the morning shift. Mike and Bo hanging out. Man, we're going to get to our picks in just a second. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Bo said, I've never been more confident 4-0 on the docket.
Okay,
this weekend,
first
man.
Off, stop lying to the people. Second off, I have a question before we get to our picks.
All right.
And I almost did something that you despise that I do, is the TVs are on in here, and we're watching highlights, and it was the NFL Blitz segment, and they showed the Garrett Wilson, they're calling it the Jumpman touchdown, which is a phenomenal catch, but they had to review it. They called it incomplete at first. It was out of bounds. They review it. They say he's in. Why was that a catch when the George Pickens ones that was 2 weeks ago wasn't?
It's the shin.
Hear me out. The George Pickens catch was ruled incomplete because he got the same leg down twice.
Right.
However.
Which I don't disagree with that. I mean, I disagree with that rule.
I disagree with it, too. If you get 2 feet down, 2 feet down, doesn't matter if it's the same foot or not. It goes down and comes up and goes down again. Garrett Wilson. Did he not get the 1 foot down? Because the left foot goes up. If I'm not mistaken, if I watched it right, the left foot goes up, unless I'm seeing it wrong. And then the knee or the shin comes down.
Yeah.
Now, I know a shin or two knees or an elbow equal 2 feet.
Yeah.
But so that makes three. Is that why?
No, the shin itself is all you needed.
That
equals 2 feet.
I know,
but the shin, it can be one shin. The shin is like an elbow.
I get it, but it's still the same leg.
Okay.
Why did George Pickens...
What I'm telling you is it doesn't matter if it's the same leg if there's a shin involved. It only matters if it's the same foot.
He's saying shin equals 2 feet.
I get that. So it's technically there's three. So it's good. But George Pickens got 2 feet down.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. Not the same thing.
But why? But that's my thing. Like, I don't. I'm going
rule.
Abe here. I'm getting like angry. And I'm not meaning to, but I don't understand why 2 feet... It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I think the 2 feet, to your point, should mean you're in, but it doesn't.
But see, I agree with you there, Mike, but I don't understand why it can be...
Why one shin equals 2 feet?
No, I know that. John Madden told me that, so I understand that. But what I'm saying is if it can't be the same leg or the same foot twice down, why can the shin of the same leg that is attached to the 1 foot that got down... be okay too, unless you're just going by the old shin is all that matters, and it's just 2 feet, so automatically it trumps the 1 foot.
That's what I'm going by. Yeah, that's
whatever. Let's do the picks, Dylan. You got the music ready for us?
I don't know how else to say that. I don't think we're speaking the same language right now.
I think you've actually convinced me. I'm just
like a shin is 2 feet. I don't know.
You know what might have happened? I'm too smart for all my own
good. That what?
I just confuse myself.
Prove your smartness with your picture. Right
my
here.
Intelligence, I have nothing. I don't have my NFL pick yet. I don't. Luckily,
that's
Dylan,
not good.
Luckily, Dylan gives us 2 picks we have to start with, and because I believe in going in order, unlike Rob Tribble, I know Rob's listening, who just goes every which way. I say we start with college because the college games go first, Michael.
Yeah.
So let's start with the game that Dylan has forced us to pick, which we asked him to do. This isn't a communist run show.
Holding you all against your will.
Yeah.
So Dylan, who's not a commie, told us that we needed to pick Ohio State at Penn State, and it's -3. Ohio State is a 3-point favorite going in to Happy Valley.
Yeah.
And a whiteout, I believe. I know it's a noon game, so I don't know if I guess they can do
a
whiteout.
They did the whiteout, but I think a lot of their t-shirts say noon games suck. Their white t-shirts
they
say noon
suck.
Games suck.
I mean, I love noon games, but not #3 versus
Big noon kickoff gets the pick. They get to pick what time that game slot's going to be, so there you go. That's how it is in the Big Ten, man. So I'll go first picking this one.
Good, because you're going to go first.
Ohio State, you mentioned 3-point favorites. Now, the Fighting Mike Contis at Penn State, the wideout, I love it, man. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I think that Penn State is as good as they have been in a long time. I think that, you know, no matter who's at quarterback, this team is more well-rounded than they've been in a long time. But it's a prove-it game for me, for Penn State. And until Penn State shows me that they can beat the Ohio States of the world in these massive Saturday matchups and a top-five showdown, I'm not going to believe it. The line's close enough to me to where I'm enough of a believer in the talent that Ohio State brings that I'm going to have to go with Ohio State minus the 3 points in this one. Even on the road, even in the wideout, even if Drew Aller plays, they're just simply more talented. They haven't played up to their talent, but they have more talent. Until Penn State shows me that they can win in these matchups, Ohio State for me all day long.
I'm going to give you a quick history lesson. Dylan, start the clock. Give me 25 seconds.
Wait, I'm going to get one of those little hourglasses in here. You know what I mean? Like one of those 30-second
hourglasses. 2 years ago, a more talented Ohio State team came in to play Penn State and a noon kickoff, big noon kickoff. The game was dead even. They didn't have Drew Aller at quarterback, who they might not have. One player took the game over. His name was Marvin Harrison Jr. He's no longer there. Give me Penn State minus the 3.
Ooh.
Fight Mike Contis.
Under right. 25 seconds. Too impressive.
I don't mind it.
Well, the countdown really did help because I was able to get there quickly. All right.
More often.
You get your own college pick. Whatever game you want, Mike, I won't hold you to any game. You can pick whatever you want.
Let me ask you a question. Have any of these guys, even the guys behind the glass, have y'all seen the Tennessee uniform reveal for Saturday night against Kentucky?
I have.
It is. I think it might be the best uniform reveal video I've ever seen. Have you seen it?
No, I don't
Dude,
care.
It might be. They're blacking out Saturday night in Knoxville, in Neyland. They are far and away more talented than Kentucky. The line is 17 and a half, whatever you want to put it. Kentucky, we love the blue-collar version and the Mark Susie. They're not playing that way. I think Tennessee runs them out of the stadium on Saturday night, gets it done. Tennessee minus 17, wearing the all-black unis after the reveal video, fireworks going on, Neyland Stadium, the whole thing's rocking. Tennessee, I love it, man. Tennessee minus the points against Kentucky this weekend.
Tennessee minus the points. Boy, I can't wait till you're wrong on that one. Kentucky's got something to prove. I'm not picking that game, however.
Kentucky's had their chances to prove things. They haven't proved anything.
Air Force at Army. Our very own Tiffany Blackman is on the sidelines for this game. The over-under...
I didn't know she was at that one.
The over-under... You don't listen to her. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
That's fair.
The over-under is 41.5. Army has scored 42 or more in 5 of their 7 games.
Okay.
They've scored 35 or more in 6 of their 7. Bryson Daly... The quarterback, not Dyson Daniels, has got 26 total touchdowns, 19 of them rushing. Pick Army if you want with the cover. I don't care. I don't do covers in some of these games. I'm telling you to pick the over 41.5. The over 41.5. Army might do it themselves. All right. Let's do an NFL pick, Michael. We got to do this a little bit quicker than not. Lions at Packers is the game that Dylan has asked us to pick. The Lions are a 2.5-point favorite, and I will tell the – no, I'll just let you pick. I want you to make your pick on record.
He keeps making me go first. If you notice this? I like that. All right, here's the thing. I picked against the Lions when they were playing the Cowboys just a couple of weeks ago, right? And I was like, man, you know what? Dallas ain't going to let that happen. I was wrong, but I'm going back to the well. When you look at this, Lions at Packers, they're in Lambeau. Lions 2.5-point favorite. I don't like that line, man. It tells me that the Packers got something cooking. I don't know what they're going to get out of Jordan Love. I don't even know if he's playing. All right, but Jordan Love and the Packers, if he's probable, he says he thinks he can play. He thinks it's realistic. Give me the Packers at home, upsetting the Lions this weekend. Packers plus 2.5.
You ready? I don't know what Jordan Love's going to do, and I don't think Malik Willis, if he has a play, is ready for Detroit with or without Aiden Hutchinson. Mm. Detroit might be the best team in the trenches in the NFL. If they're not, they are gosh darn close to it. Give me the Lions minus the 2.5. This is the only way I'm going to pass Mike is to go against Mike. Mike. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what day is it?
What's your NFL
Falcons
pick?
Friday.
Your other NFL pick.
Speaking of Falcons Friday, for my NFL lock of the week, I'm going straight down to the bins. No, I'm not taking the Falcons. I wish I was. I don't feel that confident. But I am going with the over-under in the Falcons-Cowboys game. 51.5 is the number. Now, that begs me to say, you know what, man? Falcons, 30 points, three of their last four games. Dallas, maybe the passing attack gets us. We can't rush the passer. No! No! Vegas knows all those things, Dylon. I'm going under 51.5. Both these teams will start slow. It might be 0-0 after the first quarter before the Falcons pull away. Under 51. Falcons, Cowboys, lock it up.
I actually like that a lot. I actually like that a lot.
All right, real quick. I had a lot of struggle. I had a lot of time to look over this, and I still am not loving my pick. Bears at Cardinals. Both these teams have dynamic quarterbacks. They can score. They both coming off very tight and well-contested games. The over-under is 44.5. You can throw that out. I'm going over. I am going the over. I think I'm going to pick the over in the 44.5. I just don't like that. I don't like the under there. I think maybe more about 48 points will be scored.
I like that. I like that. I like where you're going with that. We're not always on the same page. All right, we got to go to break, man. We're always late. We're always late. And coming up next is my favorite segment of the week, to be honest with you. And I know that you like when I'm honest with you. Dave Archer joins us, Atlanta Falcons analyst. He's going to tell all y'all why I'm wrong and that the Falcons themselves will hit the over this weekend by themselves. 52-0, Dave Archer said. No, I'm just kidding. We'll talk to him on the other side of the break. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Where we're honest with you.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 824 here on the Morning Shift. It's just Mike and Squid. It's just Mike and Squid hanging out here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's going on, man?
Hey, when you said Morning Shift, it felt like you left an F out. I was like, yeah. What?
No. And I know that we've been... Listen, some people have called me out on that before. We're going to get to the Falcons and Cowboys, man. And then we're going to talk to our buddy Dave Archer, the Atlanta Falcons radio analyst. Arch, me and Bo, man, a couple dogs off the leash this morning, trying to drive the bus and keep this Falcons Friday going. What's going on with you, buddy?
Hey, good to hear you guys' voices. Look forward to talking a little Falcons football with you as the Cowboys come into town. Everything's good, man. Looking forward to a good football weekend.
Arch, I want to start with this one, man. One of these stats that kind of hits you over the head when you look at the Falcons' recent run of success, when you look at October and what the ground game has been. I saw this stat earlier. Warren Sharp had this. 43.7% of the Falcons' running plays have gained five or more yards. 43% have gained five or more yards. Bijan's been special on the ground. He's been special through the air. Tyler Algier has a role as well. You talked to Kirk, and we played it earlier, his comments on this offensive line and being creative about getting Bijan the ball. What's been the key to success, really, when you look at this running game over the last few weeks?
Well, I think the specialness that the two backs bring to the table, certainly, Mike, is part of it, but there is a good part of it. But I think the offensive line and the way they've played, I think that, you know, we were a little concerned when Ryan Neusel had to come in as the backup center. I think he's done a yeoman's work there. You've been able to keep that group together for the most part, other than Neusel has been the new guy in the center spot, and he's held it down. And I think that group has grown together as a unit. We know we talk about it all the time. The most cohesive unit on a football team is the offensive line, and certainly it perpetuates itself into and manifests itself into something bigger than that if they can all stay on the field and play together for multiple games in a row without losing guys. And I know McGarry's been a little banged up, and I heard you guys talking a little bit about McGarry yesterday in that you feel like he's having one of his better seasons of his career. And I think that would be correct. I think he's done some really good stuff, and I don't know whether the injury has kind of limited him to where his mindset is that let me not try to do too much or whatever it is. But he's done an excellent job up front. But I just think it's a combination, and I think that you got Zach Robinson, a play caller that's kind of developed. We've talked about this all season long about everybody kind of growing together and kind of getting to know one another and all that kind of stuff. And it's all here by midpoint of the year. We're starting to see that come together. I asked Raheem about how much of the game plan or maybe you've gotten into the playbook as far as offense and defense goes. And he says it ebbs and flows obviously with who you're playing, but they've gotten into a good bit of what they want to do and who they want to be from an identity standpoint. We talked about that a good bit too. So I think it's a combination of all that stuff.
Arch, when you see a guy like CeeDee Lamb, who I know you get to pay a lot of attention to, cause he was a Oklahoma guy and you did a lot of Big 12 radio. With a guy like CeeDee, I asked Mike this earlier, and I think I can't remember if we were on the air yet. We were talking about stuff. Is this a guy that You basically say, I'm going to let you get yours, or do you just continue to play like you've had, where you let teams dink and dunk on you and say, we're not changing who we are, no matter who's across from us, because he's done well in two games against Atlanta, granted different coaching staff and players, but he has done well when he sees the red and black show up.
Yeah, he's done well just about anybody, against anybody. But when you go back and you look, we talked a little about this on Monday. This staff, meaning the offensive staff, defensive staffs for these two teams, Jimmy Lake and Zach Robinson, were part of offensive and defensive staffs in L.A. They saw the Cowboys last year. In fact, they've seen the Cowboys 2 years in a row, and Dallas has won both games. And last year, CD went off. He had 12 grabs for 160 yards and two touchdowns against that Ram defense. And so I know you're playing different personnel, but it's a similar scheme. And Dak had a lot of success as well, through four touchdowns in that game. So that part of it, you know CD's going to get his. And I don't think you worry about that. I think that they do a good job of game planning to get him the football. They move him a lot. Around a lot, like we do with Drake and with Darnell Mooney. So he's going to get opportunities to catch a football regardless of what you're doing defensively. The biggest thing is you don't want anybody else to touch you up if you can. You know, limit their run game, which they've struggled running the football. I know you guys have talked a great deal about that. I like their tight ends. I think Jake Ferguson is a guy that can hurt you and beat you. So he's a guy you got to pay attention to. And then just don't let Kevontae Turbin have a big play. Don't let Tolbert have a big play, because Lamb, they're going to find a way to scheme to get Lamb the football. He's just that kind of player, good player. He had 125 grabs last year, almost 1,800 yards. He's going to get catches.
Well, David, I want to follow up on that too, because I wanted to ask, and you kind of just answered it, but is that a quarterback thing where Dak kind of just locks in on a CD, or how much of that is design and how much of that is the fact that as Dak Prescott progresses, that maybe he doesn't feel like there's a lot of good options right now, specifically because you're not running the ball, right? No guys, play action's not working very well. How much of that is a Dak thing on the targets for him being so much more than everybody else, and how much of it is a scheme thing?
No, I think you're right on the nose. I thought that if you go back and you look at the 49er game, I thought that he tried to get Ferguson the football a little bit more. I think Ferguson had six grabs in the game, but you know, limited yardage. He only had like 20, 25 yards in the game, so there was limited there. I think he's tried to sprinkle the ball to the backs a little bit, running the football or throw the football to them. But, yeah, it's about C.D. Lamb. C.D. Lamb had 13 catches for 150 yards and two touchdowns against the 49ers last week. You know, and what did he have? I'm going back. I'm trying to look at my numbers here as far as completion. He had 25 completions. So 13 of his 25 completions were the same guy. And you're dead on. You're exactly right. He's locking in on one dude. Is that because McCarthy, the way McCarthy's calling plays, it's kind of steering in that direction? Or do they feel like, you know, guys can't make – there's nobody can make any plays around them? It's an interesting dilemma that they have, but fortunately it's their dilemma.
Falcons radio analyst, former Falcon, and my personal friend, Dave Archer, who – you all right there, Arch? You good?
Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit with that.
He's getting ready to make that call on those putties this weekend. That's all.
Yeah. Dave Archer joining us here on the morning shift. Arch, I ask you what I think might be stupid questions all the time, and I know that, you know, sometimes you've told me offensively you got a playmaker that's maybe out of rhythm with and not making the plays he normally makes, right? And you can kind of scheme up to get him, kind of get him going. Matthew Judon on the other side is an edge rusher who came in, got I think a sack and a half in like the first two or three games at the most. It took him three games to get a sack and a half, and he's been quiet since. Is there a way to get a guy like an edge rusher, a really good edge rusher like in the past Judon has been? Is there a way to get him going? Is there a way to scheme that up, or does it just have to happen organically?
Well, I think that the bulk of it has to happen, Bo. I think that you're talking about a guy that has not been winning his one-on-one battles, and that's what you try to do. If you're going to scheme something for an edge rusher, you're trying to create a one-on-one situation for him, and he's had a number of one-on-one situations since he's been here. You mentioned he got off to a decent start, but it's been pretty lean here over the last several weeks, and if you go back and look at the tape, I mean, he's got one-on-one opportunities, just not winning. And In all honesty, Arnold Ebiketie has been around the quarterback, Now, he's not putting him on the ground, but he's been around the quarterback maybe a little bit more than Judon's been. Now, Judon's done some other stuff. I think Judon's done a decent job in the run game on the edge. So that is that part of what they're doing defensively from a scheme standpoint? I know they want to turn him loose on third down and let him go get the passer, but he's also dropping off in coverage some. I think he did some of that in New England as well, but is he being used a little bit differently here than maybe just, you know, teeing off and going and getting the passer? Do you give him a few more opportunities like that? But I don't know that there's anything else that Jimmy Lake can do for Matthew Judon other than create some one-on-one opportunities, which he's getting. And now it's just up to him with his ability, you know, to go get the passer. And this is where you get a little concerned as to where he is in his career. Does he still have the ability to go do that?
Yeah, finishing up here with Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons radio analyst. Dave, we got about 30 seconds, but today officially Kirktober has come to a close. Now we're hoping for a Kirkvember, if you will. What can Kirk do to make sure that he stays hot and this passing game stays hot? I mean, I know it's as simple as saying do the same things that got you there, but there's a little bit different teams coming down the stretch here. What are you looking for Kirk through November?
Well, I love his preparation, Mike. I think he does such a good job of understanding what teams are doing. This is a Mike Zimmer defense. Obviously, he's very familiar with Mike Zimmer and what they like to do defensively, and that's really what it is. It's a matter of studying and doing the things that you know, or looking in on the things that people do. But this is a defense in Dallas. It's a little banged up in the back end. They're a little banged up front. You got to make sure you take advantage of it. But really, just do the things you're capable of doing. You just said it. You know, it's continue to do the distribute. He says, I'm a point guard. I'm going to distribute the ball. Keep distributing the ball. He's got guys who can go make plays.
There you go. Hopefully, we can see that this Sunday. Dave, thanks for hanging out with us, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Y'all take care. See you. Right,
that's Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons radio analyst, man. He'll be in the booth Sunday when the Cowboys come to town. Hopefully, we can get that red and black rolling. We got to go to break, man. Been a lot of fun on this show. We're going to get a Life of Squid coming up next. What we got? Sounds like we got Bader Law.
Dak Prescott, he had some words that should maybe worry Falcons fans of how the Cowboys see this football game on Sunday. Next on the morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, finishing up here on the morning shift, the Backward Hat Brigade, Mike and Bo. Been a lot of fun today, man. It's been honestly a fun week, a great weekend of sports coming up. You got Hawks versus Kings tonight. You'll hear that right here on 92.9 The Game. Tomorrow you'll have United against Miami. That will also be here on 92.9 The Game. That kicks at 7. You'll get pregame at 6 o'clock. You'll also tomorrow hear Ohio State, Penn State. I know Mike Conte moves some things around to get that one done. This hour brought to you by
No. He asked me. Michael asked me every once in a while, hey, what do you think about playing these games? I'm like, heck yeah. He asked me about one, and I was yes, Mike. Why are you asking me? You know the answer.
Yeah.
You're smart.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I will be at Buffalo's tomorrow for the pregame for Georgia and Florida. I'm guessing you'll be bellying up to a bar or a grill getting ready to watch that one as well. And then tomorrow night I'll be in the bins for Atlanta United, man. I'm stoked about the weekend I have coming up.
It's a weird weekend for me. We got the tournament today, the Passion Foundation, John Parla. Shout out to John.
Have to grease the hips up, get a little golf swing going.
You're going to play with me, playing with my neighbor, and then another guy that I've known for years is going to get to play with us. Then tomorrow I got asked to play, and we have an engagement party tomorrow night for my neighbor that goes on vacation with us.
Right.
One of them anyways. And it's a weird day because I got asked to play golf at 10:20.
Ooh, and you're going to try to fit it all in.
Then you have,
oh boy.
And then you have Florida Georgia at 3:30.
Okay.
And you have engagement party.
Wow. Three events in one day, especially when one of them's golf. That's big.
I know. And I have,
you're going to lead off with golf.
I don't know, man. I'm so torn. And I don't.
You get an IV Sunday morning.
might need more than IV. I don't even know what I'm wearing to this engagement party. I don't know. And when I say that, I know that you're looking at me like, dude, you're a dude. But I don't know the dress code.
That's always tough.
I don't know the dress code. Yeah, is it suit? I hope not.
I went
is
to
it.
A,
is yeah. it you know button up and sports coat? I hope not. You know?
Yeah, I went to a wedding out in Colorado one time, and the dress code said something like cowboy casual or something, and I was like, "What is that even? Like, what are we
mean
even talking
you dress
about?
Like a casual
yeah,
cowboy?
I don't know. Yeah, let's like, yeah, but I'm with you. I don't know what
That's
this
like
always
the
means.
Texas tuck, you know, with
to,
the
to what?
We, yeah, you. The casual cowboy look would be the Texas tuck with cowboy boots, but no cowboy hat. You can just wear like a trucker hat.
What about
right?
it, what if it was a West? Maybe it was like Western formal because I know we were in suits.
Well, then you got to have a bolo like Abe's
yeah,
hat.
Not doing that.
I love Abe's hat. Falcons rise
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
There you
Falcons,
go.
Falcons rise up. Yeah.
That's right. Well, W Sauce, Fire Shire, breakfast sauce too. Bloody Mary mix, Garrett Chapman approved. My friends at New Realm and the Owl Inn Lager. Hoo-hoo! Kennesaw State, baby. They've already played this week. So, yeah, that's where it's at. And the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic on November 25th. We are 24 days away. 24 days away. And there are still limited, and I mean limited spots, Mike. I mean, these things are there is not a lot. I'm gonna hit the update real quick, and make sure I'm on my page that there hasn't more slots gone away. But there's very few slots. Okay, we do have some special swag bags for these, and they have sizes that you need to get the right size for your gear. So. Do it today. Don't wait because you don't want to get a shirt or a hoodie or whatever it may be in their bag that doesn't fit you. And you would know all about that.
Mm, for sure.
Falcons, Cowboys, Sunday. Kickoff is at 1:02 p.m. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I do not know if the roof will be open, but based on what happened the last time, I hope it's not.
Yeah, same.
I hope we fill the seats up. I know it's going to be a packed house. There are going to be Cowboys fans there because they travel well. You know, they haven't won at home.
Do you think they travel well, or do you think there's just a lot of Cowboys fans that already live here?
I mean, six one way, half a dozen
I know,
the other.
Curious.
Does
I'm
it
just
matter?
Your thoughts.
I mean, I think combination. I think
well,
they
you
have
said
a lot.
They travel well.
I think they have a lot of fans. I think they're a heritage
spread
team
all over the place.
That has a lot of fans, and they used to be bandwagon fans, and they just bought enough gear they couldn't get rid of it in the 90s. I don't know why. I mean, they had plenty of time. They've been through a lot has changed since 1995. Mm. Last time they actually won a Super Bowl. Anyways. Their backs are against the wall. They're coming in here. And Dak Prescott was asked if this is a must-win game.
Yeah. I mean, to me, every game is. But obviously, I mean, 3-4, as I've said, a lot of seasons left. But the first start to be able to say that confidently is getting back even, especially right having a couple home ones after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the urgency this team has. That should scare Falcons fans. And you know what else that should do? That should wake Falcons fans up.
Mm.
And you should be awake. Sunday at 1:02, not like that Seattle crap. Come in there awake, and the team's got to come with energy, and you need to come with energy, and we need to put this game away as a conference game.
Let's go.
They matter.
Let's go.
You never know.
Let's go.
You never know. Get to 6-3, and then we have a showdown with New Orleans, which would put us, if we won, would be at 5-0. These are important games. You go on the road the next 2 weeks before the bye, and New Orleans and Denver.
Let's go.
Not easy places to go. And Derek Carr will be back by that time at New Orleans. And Denver has could be 6-3 after this weekend. So
I'm
let's
ready.
Get after
I'm
it.
Ready.
Let's be ready to go. Let's be in our seats. Let's be loud. I don't care if you're drunk. Just don't fight people. But be rowdy and loud. And let's freaking go. Let's beat
you
Dallas.
You hear the man.
Let's beat Dallas.
You hear the man. Squidbilly says make sure you get there early and make sure you rise up, man. It's
because what the Falcons do, Michael?
We rise up.
Rise up.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun today, man.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah. On the morning shift today. Hey, when we come back, we'll find out what's going on in the steakhouse. I know Sandy's back there in the bullpen. It's a Falcons Friday here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.